Father, we humble ourselves before you, knowing that you are the author and finisher of everything that we are. And without your anointing, this word will just be another word. So, Lord Jesus, anoint these words to bring forth your will and your plan and your way of doing things rather than mine. In Jesus' name. Amen? What I heard this morning really was kind of an odd scripture. And the Lord was kind of pushing my buttons, because it's the scripture that I knew by heart. So when you know it by heart, you know, you're pretty smart. But he led me, because what the scripture was, that my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Now, I want to give you Romans chapter 10, verse 3, because that's where he kind of pushed a little more of my buttons. Now, there's several other areas that you can confirm. If you're making notes, Isaiah 59:8, the way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their path. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace. Jeremiah 5:4. Now that was Isaiah 59:8. This is Jeremiah 5:4. I thought, these are only the poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the requirements of their God. Then Micah chapter 4, verse 12 says, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan. He has gathered them like sheaves to the threshing floor. And of course then, Romans 10, verse 3. So I want to go to Romans 10. Because for some odd reason, he wants us to taste a little bit of what I believe he's trying to teach the Romans. St. Paul writes to them, and so we'll start at verse 1. It says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. So he's looking for salvation. Okay? Then he says, I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Now that takes a bite. One of the ladies today just went to the communion table declaring that maybe there's birthday cakes in heaven because it's her mom's birthday. See, our life does not begin in this realm. Our life began way before this realm was created. And so that awareness that we are chosen vessels for his glory with a mighty anointing to change this realm. This week, I was presented with a Christmas present. Star of David. Person who gave it to me probably doesn't comprehend the fullness of it, but when it was shown, a young person wanted to know what it means. And I said, well, if you look at this, it's really two triangles. One of them facing down, and one of them facing up. And they're actually laid one on top of the other. So the one facing down is really God. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The other is the triangle of us. The Father in us, the Son in us, the Spirit of God in us, is related to our spirit, looking towards God. The soul and the body are contained in that triune being. When they become one, and it creates the Star of David, that's the fullness of God's creation. Man was not designed to live without God. And God wants to be inhabiting His people. That's why He sent His Son down here. That's the purpose of it. That's why every Jew had to wear one of these during the Holocaust. Yeah, they had armbands. If you look at the movies, and any movies about World War II, and the Jews had to wear armbands, the kids had to wear armbands with the Star of David on them. Because, you see, they are a threat to the restoration that God wants to bring in His creation. But I want you to take a peek now. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God for the Israelite is that they may be saved. That has not changed. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. The Palestinians have a love for their God. Very zealous for their God. You see the parades going up and down the world. Main Street. What are they protesting? What are they arguing about? They're zealous for their God. That has not changed. Even this 2,000 years ago, message was the same. Verse 3. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So who is he talking about? He's talking about the Jew. They wanted to establish their way of doing things, and when Jesus told them they didn't know the Father, they got upset. Amen? Amen. They did not know the one who was sending the Son. And so therefore they crucified him. Had they known who they were crucifying, they wouldn't have never done it. Okay? There are people in your life that don't know who you are actually serving. And they may be persecuting you because they're serving their God. Could be the God of their own flesh. Could be their God of humanity. Could be their God of public relations or whatever, in order to present themselves in a higher place. Could be pride, could be all kinds of things. It's not important. If they are serving their God, you're going to see by their actions who they really are, by their words, their choices, and their way of doing things. But if they're serving the Most High, you're going to see that their purpose is to serve others. Their purpose is to extend themselves to help those that are in need. They're not going to be focused on number one. Okay? And I'm not blaming Christians that are focused on number one, because there's a season of that. Everyone starts off with Christianity to get themselves healed. Please say amen.
Amen.
And you cannot heal someone else until you've had a percentage of healing yourself.
Amen.
But once you start on that path of healing, you want to share it with everybody.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? And that's when I went a little bit overboard, maybe a lot overboard, according to many people. And I did.
Drove your family crazy?
Everybody I've met, absolutely.
Amen.
And he knows it. Yes, he was a witness to it. But what am I saying? I'm saying that our zeal is once we get to know a little bit about God, we want everybody to taste the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
Of course, if you don't think that it was hard on my family, I've got news for you. Now, I'll give you a little bit of a testimony. My grandson is recovering a little bit at a time, getting a little bit better. And for the past few days, We've had quite a few discussions in the past few weeks. And we've talked about the Lord. We've talked about some of the miracles that God has done, how he's revealed himself to me, blah, blah, blah. And he asked questions, and I gave him answers. And I said, are you sure you want to know some of this? Yep. Okay. Now he's 25. He'll be 26 there pretty soon. The little girl's going to be 2. And yesterday, he and the baby took an early nap. He was supposed to stay home. His wife and the baby were supposed to go and do a little bit of shopping with her maid of honor. So they were supposed to meet and have some time together and maybe a snack or whatever. And Christopher comes downstairs with the baby, and I says, I thought you were, well, you're all dressed. Where are you going? Pep, something strange is going on. He says, oh, really? Yeah, I had a dream. I dreamt that my TV broke, and I saw what I needed to do in order to get a new TV, and a widescreen is in the room. It's already there, and I know what to take apart, and I know what to put back together. This is so strange, Pep. I went to bed, and I was hurting, and the pain's pretty good, and I'm feeling pretty good, and I want to go. I said, well, good. Have a good time. You'll find out if it's God, if the dream comes true. He came home with a 42-inch TV. $479.
Wow.
That's an incredible deal.
Yeah.
He was so excited, he couldn't touch the ground. He says, you know, I'm getting like you. I said, yeah. And what is going to happen when he touches a few more buttons on you, buddy? And his wife said, after it was set up, because he called his brother to help him, etc., and they worked upstairs for quite a while, and they set it up, and it's intense. I mean, you know, you can't miss it. A 42-inch screen. It's gorgeous. Okay? And his wife was so awed that her tongue is hanging out, saying, we could never do this. I mean, it was impossible. I mean, how could God do this? And Christopher had the dream, and if it wouldn't have been for the dream, he wouldn't have come, and if it wouldn't have gone, he wouldn't have got, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. What is God saying?
He can do anything.
But the bottom line is, she was saying, in reality, God touched us. Because one of the comments that my grandson said, we've been hanging around here too long. So what happens is, your knowledge is going to start rubbing off on others. Try it on. Close your eyes. Say, the knowledge of God inside of me is going to affect those that are around me. Their first reaction is to get PO'd. They get angry with us. Because they can't stand this God that they don't know. They have no knowledge of Him. But they will. I will not give up. In Jesus' name, touch those that need to be touched around me, on the job, in the stores, on the highway, and in my home. Amen? Are you catching on? Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So in other words, they were so into the law that they became irritable. They became irritable. They became irritable to God. Rules and regulations will actually bind you. But God's Holy Spirit will bring you freedom. Because you see, the law of love entails all of the law.
So when you're in love with somebody, you're not going to be an irritation to them. You're going to respect them. If you become a real lover of the Lord, you're not going to try to stuff Jesus down their throats. You're going to be an example of how Jesus is and was serving their need, rather than pushing religion down their throats. Because they're going to vomit. Believe me, I know. And I'm not trying to be critical of where you were or what you've done. I am trying to awaken you to go higher. That law of love, that law of servitude, that law of compassion and mercy will actually outweigh their criticalness, because their criticalness is going to be for a season. How many got irritated by anybody telling you about Jesus at some point in your life? Thank you. Same thing. I was standing in line. I had to go to the customer service department at Walmart this past week. I got my little package with me that I'm going to be returning because it's a problem. And the lady in front of me is on her cell phone. Well, she says, these born-again believers, she says, they're driving me up a tree. And I'm thinking, lady, I'm interceding for you right now. I said, when you're up that tree and you actually cry out for Jesus Christ, it's going to be awesome. I didn't say one word out loud. But she was ordained to be standing smack in front of me, telling her friend that she was so irritated. And I'm thinking, bless that friend, Lord Jesus. Give her a little more insight. Give her a little more word so that the word of life can come into this woman.
Amen.
Oh, and she was so discouraged because they had been pushing their buttons. And I'm thinking, God's on the job. Glory to God. I don't know if she saw my smile, but I didn't care. All right? But you never know who you're talking to when you're on your phone. Somebody else could be interceding for you in the background.
Amen.
What am I saying? I'm saying that there are times that you're going to quietly pray. There are times that you're going to be vocally praying. Amen? Verse 5. Moses described it this way. The righteousness that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. And in your heart. That is the word of faith. We are proclaiming that if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Next part. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. So the salvation is not a complicated reality. A confession with your mouth will change what's happening in your life tomorrow, today, this afternoon. A release from your heart of love to somebody that's in an irritated space will what? Will impact their lives. It will impact their hearts. Verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And are what? Justified. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone.
Yep.
Doesn't matter with color, but doesn't matter background, etc. How then can they call on the one they have believed? I'm sorry. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? Oh, so you're reluctant, aren't you? You guys were supposed to say amen. Okay? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Wherever God is sending you, wherever He's pressing you to obey, do it. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet. You are those feet. But not all the Israelites accept the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice had gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. Meaning that they're going to be a multiplicity of, which is really the church. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. And Isaiah boldly says, it was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. But concerning Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. Have they changed?
Some.
If you look, there are some that are pushing to obey the Holy Spirit. And we just received this beautiful calendar from Dugit. And Avi sent this, I received it this week. And of course, I was excited about some of the pictures in here because in that gorgeous, some of the places that are photographed in here are an overview of the nation of Israel and has a little highlight on each one so you can look at it afterwards. But, you know, God has told us as a church to continue to support this particular ministry. 10 years ago in February when we were there, they ministered to us. They didn't get a gift from us, not to my knowledge anyway. But I know that their people came out and ministered to a bunch of Americans, and at least one Canadian, and they did a marvelous work. They came to the hotel, we were in a nice conference room like this, and they ministered to us for several hours with music and some ministry. I remember one particular lady who ministered to us, she was from Russia, and these people had actually taken her in and taken care of making her welcome, helping her to start learning the Hebrew language. And she knew a little bit of English. It wasn't a lot, but enough to let us know that we were welcome. And so when we support these different ministries, you're connected. Whenever you give to the house of prayer, you're also giving to IAM. And the IAM ministries go all around different parts of the world. I think it's 40 or 50 nations now. So be aware that your gift is going to go out and it's going to touch people. It's going to touch lives. Why am I saying that? Because sometimes we don't speak about it. But I believe it's necessary for us to let you know wherever we do as a body is going to be a reflection on you. It's going to bless you. It's going to do a work for you. So I want you to recognize now and lift your hands to the Lord with me. Say, Lord Jesus, we're truly releasing a blessing to all those that we meet. We will speak of the Lord, Jesus Christ, at the appointed hour. We will be an example of love, of mercy, of compassion, so that they will see Jesus in us and not question. But if they do, we'll gladly witness about you. Amen? And amen.